All right. Would you join me as we pray just before we get into the word this morning? Lord, we are so in awe of who you are. We're so thankful for this day and what this day represents. Lord, as we open your word today, Lord, we know that your word is already powerful. We know that your words are not simply ink on paper. Your words are life. Lord, as your word is shared today, bring life to us, your people. Lord, we know that your word is transformational. Lord, as your word is shared today, transform us, oh God. Lord, you said that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. God, let your word renew our minds this morning. Father, I pray for every heart in this room. I pray for every set of ears in this room. Lord, right now we just remove every distraction. Anything that would seek to hinder your plans, God, we just stamp it out in the name of Jesus. Every ear will hear, every heart will receive, and every life will be impacted by your word. And God, we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, happy Resurrection Easter Sunday. Amen. So glad to have you here with us today. So, what if I told you that the Falcons were going to win the Super Bowl next year? Come on, somebody. What if I told you that that Tupac and Biggie, they're not really dead? What if I told you that QT was offering free gasoline for a whole year to anybody that comes to church 4 weeks in a row? We might be able to get some folks in here on a rainy day. What if I told you, parents of teenagers, that there was a way that you could understand everything that they said? Even those hidden and secret esoteric text messages that are coded. What if I told you that none of that I just said is ever going to happen? However, what if I told you you could truly understand the origin of the universe? What if I told you that you can know your unique purpose for life? What if I told you that this cosmic existence that we are navigating through was not some grand accident that happened randomly through some subatomic particle stuff? What if I told you that it was purposeful, intentional, and done by design? What if I told you you were gonna live forever? See, the reality is this. You are. You are. I don't know if you realize it, but you are sitting next to an eternal being. You are sitting next to an eternal being. What if I told you that all of life and everything beyond this life hinges on one thing: the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It all hinges on one thing. So I'm here to tell you, if Jesus was raised from the dead, you can absolutely know you're going to live forever. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die. I love that. Because, you know, nobody gets out of this life alive. Just in case, I'm just a little good news for you here on Resurrection Sunday morning. Though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he posits a question. Do you believe this? See, why would he ask that question? Because what you believe or don't believe about the resurrection absolutely matters. It absolutely matters. As a matter of fact, what you believe or you don't believe about the resurrection, it actually determines what your forever looks like. You know, I think it's important for us to reflect on the reality of forever because, you know, life is really unpredictable. Like, none of us has any idea what tomorrow really holds. None of us has any idea what the next 10 seconds actually holds. And because life is so unpredictable, we need to live with this awareness that there is a forever. You know, I was thinking about this week. Has anybody ever had a close call where you had a very close brush with death? Anybody? There is one that is so vivid in my own mind. It was August the 16th, 1987. I had just dropped off a buddy of mine. I was a rising sophomore in college. And I was on my way back home, and I made a right onto Rockbridge Road out in Stone Mountain. As I'm coming down the hill, I see a set of headlights coming in my direction and beginning to veer over into my lane. And I thought, well, he'll probably correct. And then I realized that he wasn't going to correct and that he was going so fast that I couldn't avoid him. So I slammed on my brakes in my 1968 electric baby blue Volkswagen Bug that didn't have any seatbelts. And it was a head-on collision with a drunk driver. It was a miracle that I survived. There's somebody else in the room who can relate to that. Brother Leo over here had a meeting with a drunk driver a few weeks ago, but there he sits. You see, forever is always right around the corner. But as I was thinking about this and the will of God and how God operates in our lives, I was reminded of this quote by Dr. David Jeremiah. He says, a man of God in the will of God is immortal until God is finished with him. Apparently, God wasn't finished with me on that day. I believe there was something I was supposed to do. Brother Leo, he wasn't finished with you on that day. There's something that you have to do. And oh, by the way, if you're still in the room and you have a pulse, we don't need to check, do we? You have a purpose. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. It means he's not done with you yet. It means he's got a purpose and a destiny for you. But because there is life beyond where we are, we need to be focused on what it means. Jesus said, whoever believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Pastor Tim Keller said these words. He says, this issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like Jesus' teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept that all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about anything he said? Because Jesus spoke numerous prophecies in his earthly ministries, but amongst the most important and the most significant was the prophecy that he would be crucified and 3 days later walk out of the tomb. If that one came true and he prophesied that, you might want to listen to everything else he had to say. So what you do with what you believe about this resurrection is incredibly important. Do you believe this? One of Christianity's greatest researchers is Lee Strobel. He's an ex-investigative reporter. And he tells us that there's a lawyer who was one of the most successful lawyers in history, even more successful than OJ's dream team. There's a lawyer by the name of Sir Lionel Lacoux. So pictures going up of him. This lawyer was so good. He had 245 murder acquittals in a row. He was knighted twice by the Queen of England. And he was a Jesus skeptic until he applied his legal expertise to examine the evidence of the resurrection. Upon examining the evidence of the resurrection, this brilliant lawyer says this: I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolutely no room for doubt. What is the evidence? Well, I want to submit to you five exhibits today. Five exhibits I would like to enter into the courtroom as evidence. Now, I'm not a lawyer, although I know there are some in the room, but I just dressed the part today. I got on my white Matlock suspenders and my bow tie. So just indulge me as we enter into the courtroom, and I want to present to you Exhibit A, the testimony of history. See, oftentimes people who doubt the biblical record, they push this idea that there was such a big gap between the time of the alleged resurrection and the time that the Gospels were recorded. They say it was 100 years or so. But when you examine the evidence, that doesn't quite hold up. See, what they say is, because it was 100 years or so that this story about Jesus, it became legend. It became the thing of myths. But the reality is that Jesus was crucified somewhere between AD 30 and 33. But some of the first gospel accounts, the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, they appear only about 30 years later. So you might look at Luke, the gospel, as volume 1. And the book of Acts as volume 2, as he talks about the crucifixion, the life of Jesus, and his resurrection. He says this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. He says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He's talking about Jesus. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So Luke was this early first century physician who took it upon himself to examine the existing records, and he compiled an account. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, there is a creed that the Apostle Paul is citing. And Bible scholars say that this creed was written about 2 to 3 years after Jesus' resurrection. Here's what he said. Verse 3. It says, For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. The apostle Paul wrote this letter in AD 55, only about 25 years after the resurrection. And he is saying, check it out, y'all. There was over 500 witnesses, and I have talked to some of them. And if you want, I mean, this is really interesting, because at the time that he's writing this letter, he's saying, listen, you don't even have to take my word for it. Some of the people who saw this are still alive. I want you to find them. You can talk to them. They can testify to you personally about what they have seen. You know, Lee Strobel said, with those 515 witnesses, if you brought them into a courtroom and you just gave them each 15 minutes to say what they saw, it wouldn't end until 5 days later. 515 witnesses. If you are the lawyer who has 515 witnesses and you parade them before the judge, you are on your way to win your case. Judge, I just got one more. That was number 514. I just got one more. Can you give me, you gave me 5 days. Can I have 15 more minutes? And then I will close my case. So the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, even in my day, there are those who actually saw him. So the reality is that these documents that we read were recorded very shortly after the actual events, which indicates the high likelihood that they are accurate. Exhibit B, the empty tomb. His body was gone. I mean, one of the most powerful evidences of the empty tomb is that there is no record anywhere that claims that he was still there. No historical record, no Roman records. No one is disputing the fact that he was gone. The tomb was empty. You know, Caiaphas, the high priest, the one who was responsible for the crucifixion, you know that biblical archaeologists discovered his grave. They discovered his tomb. They went inside. You know what they found? They found Caiaphas. They found him. Yeah, he was right there. He was right there, Brother Jerry. Just like they said he would be. And some say that the disciples stole the body of Jesus. Now let's, okay, I get it. But let's think about this for a moment. What would they have to gain by stealing the body, hiding the body, and pretending that he was resurrected? You know what they would have to gain? They would have arrest to gain. They would have execution to gain. They would have a criminal's death to gain. Why would they do that? As a matter of fact, it is highly unlikely that the disciples would have been willing to steal his body, lie about the resurrection, and then die under torture to maintain that lie. Yet they died under torture. I mean, you know how these lies go when you got a group of people together. I mean, once somebody gets arrested, one of the co-conspirators gets arrested, and you bring him in, you say, now look, you need to tell us exactly what happened, because you know you are facing the death penalty. Did you say death? You mean as in death? Oh, well, let me tell you what had happened. See, it was Peter's idea. It was Peter's idea. You know how crazy Peter is. I didn't really want to go along with it. But you know, Peter, he cut off that other dude's ear. So you don't want to mess with Peter. So it was Peter's idea. And oh, by the way, it was John. John came up with the alibi. He told me what to say. And then, you know, Matthew, he was in on it too. You know, he was an ex-tax collector. So he had a stash of money. So he was paying people off. You know, the story was just, it was just unraveled. But instead, they got arrested. They're facing execution. And with their dying breath, I will not deny him. Amen. Who would do that for a lie? Chuck Colson, who was part of the whole Watergate scandal back in the 70s, he understood how this thing goes down because he got arrested and found Jesus in prison. And this is what he said. He said, "Take it from me, who was inside the Watergate cover-up. Nothing less than witnessing the resurrected Christ could have caused all those men to maintain to their dying whispers, 'Jesus is alive and Lord.'" See, something had to have happened. The tomb must have been convincingly empty for them to say, "I will go to my death to maintain he is risen." Exhibit B, the eyewitness testimony. The eyewitness testimony. I've already talked about this. But Jesus appeared to 515 people over a period of 40 days at 12 different times, indoors and outdoors and in broad daylight. Now, the only way that you can explain this is if you want to believe that there was a mass hallucination. 515 people all saw the same thing, but they all had this synced up hallucination. It's actually easier for me to believe he was raised from the dead. I submit to you another exhibit. The emergence of the church. See, exhibit D. According to World Christian Encyclopedia, it is estimated that by AD 100, there were 1 million Christians in the Roman Empire. That's a mind-boggling number. AD 100, so it started out with 12 people. 70 years later, you have 1 million people following Christ. And oh, by the way, this is 1 million people who are under Roman persecution for following him. So now even those who are no longer eyewitnesses, something has happened to them and in them to say, "No, I will go to the death for this raised Savior who died over 70 years ago. I will go to the death." From 12 to over 1 million just in the Roman Empire. And it was no Facebook. It was no Twitter. It was no Instagram. It was no YouTube. And the story still went viral. I mean, the fact that the church could even emerge at all under those circumstances, there must be something to this resurrection. I mean, something happened that changed the way they viewed their world. Something happened that changed the way they engaged their world. What could spark such a change and growth. I want to submit to you. It has to be nothing less than the cataclysmic event of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was risen from the dead. See, I don't know. I don't know where you stand on this issue, but I've made up my mind. I've made up my mind on this issue. I believe the word of Jesus. I am convinced that I am going to live forever. I'm already convinced. I am hopelessly, irrevocably convinced. You know, Billy Graham, I love this quote. He says, "Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead." He said, "Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God." Hallelujah. Man, one day we're going to all have an address change, y'all. And it will be better than having the Beverly Hills 90210 zip code. The mansions in that place don't require contractors. The mansions in that place don't, you don't have to pay. I'm not even going to say what I paid to have my house painted. But you don't have to pay all that money to have your house painted or renovated. The mansions in this place. Man, I love what the book of Revelation says, that the streets are paved with gold. See, you think you blinging with your platinum. And God says, "Oh, that's just asphalt up here. Oh, we ride around on that up here." Man, I'm convinced. Exhibit E, as I'm wrapping up. It brings us to our fifth exhibit. Dr. Gary Habermas compiled 22 ancient extra-biblical records that mention the death of Jesus, and 13 of those records refer to the resurrection. So what this means is that there are historical records outside of the Bible that record events that took place that sync up with the events that are recorded in Scripture. One of those is what happened on the day of the crucifixion. On the day of the crucifixion, here is what it says. It says, "And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And after that, it says that darkness descended for 3 hours. And the cosmologists say it could not have been an eclipse. It wasn't an eclipse like that little dinky one we had last year. Do y'all remember the non-eclipse? I mean, I missed the stinking thing because I was on a phone call. I was on a phone call. I wrapped up. I walked out. I was going to join the rest of the staff. They were going up to the top of the roof at the Douglasville campus. I'm walking out. They're going, "Oh, it's over, man. It's over." But this was a 3-hour experience of darkness. And there's a historian by the name of Thallus who wrote in AD 52 about this day of sudden darkness in the Eastern Mediterranean world. He was not a follower of Christ, was not a believer of Christ, but he recorded this event actually taking place. So, five exhibits. But you know what? I do have one more extra biblical exhibit I would like to present to you in the form of the lives of people who have been transformed by Jesus. Take a look. See, these are people who have encountered a risen Savior. People whose lives have been changed. Those who will say, oh yes, I know he's risen because I remember when I was dead. And I remember when I heard that name of Jesus, and that name of Jesus touched my heart and touched my life. Some of them, they might have driven you in on the golf cart this morning, or they might have greeted you right here in the worship auditorium, or they might have given you a beautiful smile right out there in the commons. They are examples of those whose lives have been changed by a living, risen Savior who left an empty tomb and brought eternal life to all who will call on his name. And Jesus poses that question. Do you believe this? I'm not a great attorney. I don't know if I did a good job of presenting the evidence or not. But I can tell you this. I met him. And I could not walk away from my exchange with him and remain the same. So for me, perhaps the greatest evidence that I rely on is what he's done in my life. I remember who I was. I remember where I was. I can still smell the pit that he removed me from. I think he lets the stink linger around as a reminder. You know you don't want to go back there. You know you don't want any more of that stuff on you again. I know he has changed me. See, it is critical that you realize that everyone will exist forever. What do I mean? Let me close with a couple scriptures. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. In the New Living Translation, it says, and God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe. And this includes you, for you believed what we told you about him. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he presents to us today a choice that we can place our faith in him. We can acknowledge our sin before him, turn from that sin and call on him as Savior. And he says, in exchange for that, I will give you everlasting life. But he also says you can reject that. And though you will exist forever, it's not in a state that he calls life. Life is when we exist with him forever because we've trusted in who he said he is. But condemnation is to exist forever outside of a relationship with him. It's not a popular subject in the 21st century church, but it's still a biblical truth. It's a place called hell. So maybe you came in today just to hear it's decision time. Maybe you have been far away in your relationship with Christ. Maybe you've not ever accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you've been away from church so long you just decided I'm going to come on Easter just to see, does God still remember me? Yes! He remembers. Yes. He knows. And yes, he loves. His death was about love. And his resurrection is about love. Bow your heads. If you're in this place today and you are saying, I want that everlasting life that you just talked about, Pastor. If that's you, on the count of three, I just want you to slip up your hand and say, I want you to pray with me and for me. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior today. I'm also going to bring another group into this prayer, and that's those who have been far away from God. Maybe you at one time had given your life to him, but through circumstances in life you walked away, but you are saying, I want to come back. I want to be restored. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand too. One, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Two, I want to come back to him. Three, hands going up. Yes, yes. Thank you, thank you. Now just pray with me. You say, Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning asking you, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for living a life outside of you. And now, Lord, I ask you, make me new. Jesus, just tell him, Jesus, today I call you Lord. Today I call you Savior. And now just say to him, Jesus, I believe that you died for me on the cross, that you paid for my sins on the cross. And I believe that on the third day you were raised from the dead. And now tell him, I believe that when I die, I'll go to live with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.